Praise the Lord for air conditioning. Is that what you call it? So I tried to cover up all my curls, but they are slowly but surely coming out. You come in one way, you walk out another. Isn't that what we've been saying all day? Yeah, I thought I'd make my hair straight for today's event. I started yesterday making it straight, and well, we can all see where it's going now. Hey ho, good thing I don't worry about that, huh? Vanity went out the door when God asked me to give him my hair. How many of you have heard my testimony before? Oh, wow. Quite a few of you. How many of you have not heard my testimony? How many of you would like to hear my testimony in 70 seconds? Okay, who's timing? Okay, so there's this story of a little girl. No, I can't sing. I can kind of dance, but I can't sing, and you don't want me to sing because all of you would run for the front door. My story is this. My mom was 16 when she had me. She had me out of an orgy party. I was a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, born in the 70s. I'm 45 years old. My mom was addicted to cocaine, heroin, and alcoholic. I met my father when I was 37. Before I met my father, I was living in and out of foster homes. I was molested by every Tom, Dick, and Harry that my mother knew. Some were strangers, some were related or close relation. And by the time I was 8 years old, my grandmother took me in. She's my Nana. She's in heaven now. And from the age of 8 to 14, Nana put good morals in me. And but Mom came back in my life and promised me greener grass on the other side. My mom lived in Hawaii, and what kid doesn't want to move to Hawaii from California? Plus, I could smoke cigarettes, have boyfriends, and wear makeup. So who wouldn't want that, right, when you don't really know the Lord? So off I went. I don't recommend it. I became very promiscuous. It's a bad choice. By the time I was 21, I got pregnant. I was engaged to be married, and my fiancé cheated on me. I left my fiancé, got saved through a crisis pregnancy center, and had a beautiful 8-pound, 13-ounce baby, very natural, had him. He was this big. 3 months after he was born, a babysitter shook him, caused brain damage. He was living in the hospital for nearly 5 months, dying. He was in PICU. They gave him no hope to live. He had seizures that were lasting 20 minutes, 10 minutes apart, and the doctors told me that I needed to prepare for his death. So 5 months later and several surgeries later, he came home. He was blind, deaf, and a vegetable, and every day I prophesied over Micah because God put a word in my heart, and I believed it. And so every day I spoke over Micah, and I said, you're going to see, you're going to hear, and you're going to call me Mama. Every day I said that over Micah. By the time, I don't know, he was almost a year old, he could see, he could hear, and he calls me, and he talks too much. He's 24 years old, and what God started, God will finish. Amen? That's my testimony in a nutshell. There's a lot in between, but I just gave you the short version. So if God can use brokenness, he can use anyone, can he? You probably would have never known that about me, right? And there's so much more to my story, but I just gave you the short version. Why do I share it? Because I believe that it empowers people. I believe if you haven't heard it, if you see me, anybody can do anything that God calls them to do. All you have to do is have a yes in your heart. That's it. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've come from. All you have to do is have a yes in your heart. And I had a yes in my heart. I'm married 23 years, and to my husband, Paul, and he's a wonderful, hottie, my best friend man, and we married after Micah's tragedy brought us together, and we have two other children, Hannah and Emma. Hannah is our middle child. She's married, and now we have three grandchildren. Ezra was just born on Wednesday. He's beautiful. So I love being a Nana, and my husband loves being a Papa, and we just feel so blessed. We're missionaries here in the UK. We've lived here for 4 years. My husband left his job of 24 years, and he gave up a $60,000 income, and we live by faith. God is good. We've never missed one payment, and we always have food in the refrigerator. Isn't that wonderful? He's faithful. So you never have to worry, because when God says that you're not an orphan, you're not an orphan. You either believe it or you don't. That's it. Jesus only requires this one thing, only believe. Two words, only believe. It's that simple, huh? Yet so complicated. We only make it complicated when our brain gets in the way. Yeah? Only believe. Only believe what God says. If you only believe, it becomes a weapon in your hand. Did you know that? Only believe. It doesn't mean you're going to have your days. You know, Elijah had his day. He went and hid himself in a cave and woe is me. But you know what God did? He brought him hope. He brought him hope in the midst. He didn't give him a good smack on his behind. He brought him hope in the midst. And he said, you know what, Elijah, I could see that you're down, buddy, but let me hear. I'm going to give you some strategies so you can go and build yourself up again. Because God doesn't want us sitting on our biscuits doing nothing. He wants us to get up off our biscuits and go do something, because you are designed to release the kingdom of God. That is your destiny. That is your purpose. If you have breath, you are designed to go and release the kingdom of God. Did you know that? Every single person in here. I'm an uneducated woman. I got my GED. I had to get my GED. That's a general education diploma. When I was 21, after I had Micah, because I had to quit school because of the abuse that my mom did when I moved to her in Hawaii. I couldn't be in school. If I went to school, she'd beat me up. So it was easier for me to just stay home. And so I got my education. My husband and I are ordained pastors through the Vineyard. Big whoop-de-doo. None of that really matters, does it? I'm a lover of the Lord. That's all you need. You need a yes in your heart and to be a lover of God. No credentials matter. Did you know that? You know that history tells us that the people God chose to use to be a part of the royal lineage are a bunch of people that we would consider misfits. Yeah? Did you know that God had to have an supernatural divine conception with Jesus, because Joseph was actually part of a lineage that was cursed, that no person can come from the throne of David in his lineage because of disobedience? So God did a supernatural thing, and he broke the curse in Joseph's lineage, and the two came together. Did you know that? Isn't that pretty cool? Does God redeem? Does God redeem super well? I just gave you the short version of that. That's something that I just recently taught in our discipleship group. But do you want to hear a little bit more of it? You're all hungry. I could feel you pulling on me. Am I feeling correctly? Okay. All right. I guess I'll share my secrets with you. I have to turn my book the upside right way. Did I say that right? Upside right way. I'm an upside down, kind of backwards kind of girl. I get them all wrong, but that's okay. So here we go. So you have this lineage of Joseph's genealogy and Mary's family tree. And Matthew traces Joseph's genealogy. And in the book of Luke, it traces Mary's genealogy. Well, the reason why you can see through Joseph's genealogy, his father, Mary's father is Joseph's father-in-law through Luke. That's Mary's father. Do you understand? And so as you go down and you look back into, let me just find it, okay? Because I have my notes here and I'm just kind of giving you from my memory. So the interesting fact about Joseph was there was a curse. Sorry if I don't pronounce his name right. On Jehoiakim, it's in Jeremiah 36, 1 through 32. The curse on Jehoiakim was he was the king of Israel, and he angered God by burning a scroll that Jeremiah the prophet wrote. God cursed him by saying that none of his children will sit on the throne of David. That's in Jeremiah 36, 29 through 31. And even though Jehoiakim had children, none of them reigned as King David had. Pretty awesome, huh? So Joseph was the father of Jehoiakim's descendants. He was the father of Jesus. So God redeemed Joseph. He redeemed his lineage. Because God cannot be called a liar, right? He can't go back on his word. But God redeemed Joseph's lineage. And his lineage was a mess. We know that Mary's lineage was a mess. We had a prostitute. We had all kinds of, you know, dirty stuff. I mean, the Bible is just interesting. It's one big soap opera, isn't it? And you just see all this crazy stuff. Yet God chose to use these people and their brokenness. This isn't my preach, but God chose these people and their brokenness. I'm sorry if I'm talking really fast, but I have a lot that I have in my heart, and I want to move quickly. My Bible's upside down, too. So I shared that with you because I love when God uses the unexpected. And he really does use people to confound the wise. Like, he uses anybody. All you have to have is a yes in your heart. That's it. You only have to have a yes in your heart. I remember one time the Lord gave me an acronym for the word yes. Yielded extravagant servant. I've probably said that before, but Y-E-S. A yielded extravagant servant. Nikki, I believe that this is the great, do you want to record this? Because I'm getting ready to talk really fast. Do you have time to get your phone? Okay. I believe that this is a new season for you, and I believe that the Lord is going to begin to push you out. I believe one of the things that I saw happening with you is I saw you writing books, and that this was a season of writing for you, and that it was important for you. There's a story inside of you, but not just one. There are many stories. I also feel like that there's a gift of illustration in you, and I felt like that you have a real heart for children. So I felt like that the Lord was going to give you even ways to introduce Holy Spirit through even like children's books and stuff, that they're through illustration and really bringing the presence of the Lord through writing. I believe that there's a creativity on you that's untouched, that has been almost, it's almost like anything creative, there's been a blockage, but I see that the blockage is coming off. And I felt like that the Lord was going to begin to send you to the nations as well. And I believe that your stories are going to come from you going to the nations, that the Lord is going to begin, you're going to remember, like even Holy Spirit story, be sure that you write these things down, because these are going to be the stories that you put in your book, even for children. I felt like that the Lord was also going to give you inventive ideas. You have a real heart for orphans, and but spiritual orphans, but also natural orphans. And I felt like the Lord was going to give you some strategies and ideas on how to bring healing into the orphans' lives, ones that are real orphans, and then, of course, people who are spiritually minded with an orphan spirit. But God is going to use the natural and then use the spiritual. He's going to show you in the natural, and then you're going to teach and break bondages off of people's lives in the spirit. But first, he's going to take you through a season of training. And I believe that this season is going to be a quick season, a time of quick training. So I what is it? Put on your boots and strap whatever that saying is. You could delete that from the recording. But, just get ready. But I believe that now is the time. And I believe that, you know, sometimes we hear now is the time and it doesn't happen for 5-10 years. But I really believe that now is the time, like right now, that this is the time for you to begin to step into the destiny and the purpose and the call of your life. And don't worry if you don't have all the answers, if you don't understand everything. God sent us here with $12,000 in our pocket. We've been here 4 years. $12,000 equals about 7,500 pounds, and that doesn't get you very far. It only takes you to about three, almost 4 months with everything that you have to pay for. So he can do anything. God does. You know, the beautiful thing about the Lord is he doesn't live inside time, and he also doesn't live inside finance. Did you know that Jesus pulled a coin out of a fish? So that leads me to believe that if I need something, all I have to do is find my spiritual fish and pull out my coin. Do you know that God does that all the time? Only believe. Only believe. All we have to do is begin to believe, and you watch. You position yourself and you watch what God can do. It is the brokenness that blocks us. It is the faith that frees us. And we must begin to truly believe. You know, we were making jokes. Andrew's never seen like the extreme cheekiness. He knew it was there, but he was quite prepared for what he observed this morning on the way here. I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. Don't ask me why, but I've been awake since 3 o'clock this morning. And I get a bit giddy. The way I prepare for ministry is I'm silly. I'm just slap silly. Like, child slap silly. You can't contain me. And we were in Starbucks, and there, I told them my name was Gidget. They didn't even spell my name right. They spelled Getlet. I don't even know how they got Getlet out of Gidget. And then I was like looking at the wall, and I was like, you're smart. You're anointed. You're just talking to the air. And, you know, but we need to, that's how I prepare for ministry. That's how I prepare to come and do what God calls me to do, because I just need to get out over myself. You know, we just need to get over ourselves and step into what God has called us to do. You know, that it's actually because I get a little nervous, believe it or not. I can stand do five and I can stand in front of 3,000. It doesn't matter how many people are there. I always get nervous because God trusts me with your heart. And I consider it a pure privilege to stand before you and share, hopefully, the heart of God. So all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is have a yes in our heart. He can use anybody that says yes. He can. If he can use a donkey, he can use anybody. I'll be a donkey for the Lord. I know they don't do that, do they? Those are chickens. It's because I'm a vegan. I really don't know what animals do. I wear them. I just don't eat them. Anyway, on that note, let's carry on. Oh, God is hilarious, isn't he? He's so good. He's so good. And that's the other thing is we need to relax. We need to relax in our journey. And I'm not saying that, you know, there are so many things coming against, you know, when you're as a leader and somebody foreign in this country, I can't tell you how many. Andrew is like, he's a godsend. Like, he's my papa. I love this man. I trust him with my heart. My husband trusts him with his heart. We trust him as being a part of our family. And if he wasn't, I would probably be in an institution in a straitjacket. I'm not kidding you. That's how hard it has been. That's how crazy I have felt. I have felt like Elijah running for the cave saying, God, take my breath. But instead, God keeps coming along through angels like Andrew telling me, keep going, keep going. Angels like this one, keep going, keep going. See, the enemy wants to come and rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes to bring life and life abundantly. That means he comes to bring you more than what you have. Not just a mediocre life. He came to bring you more than. Anything less than more than is an orphan way of thinking. Did you know that? Anything less than thinking that you're not good enough is an orphan way of thinking. It's an orphan mindset. An orphan mindset will always say that I'm not good enough. I don't have enough money. I'm looking at all the I can'ts and the whatevers. The reject. You know where it came from? It came from the root of when the enemy thought that he was better than God. And he rebelled, and rebellion and rejection go hand in hand, and he became an orphan. One kingdom or the other, I suggest the one that has abundant life and life abundantly. You're called by name. In Psalm 52:17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. God loves it when we come before him. He loves that I cry out to him. I cry out to him when I don't know what to do. I don't stay in the state of despair, but I cry out to God and say, I need the counsel of the Lord. We should go to the throne and not the phone. Go to the throne first and not the phone. Then go to the phone after you have sat and counseled with the Lord. He should be our first counsel. He has the greatest wisdom. He's the greatest counselor. He has all the knowledge. He has all the understanding. He's the one. He's the one that will teach us how to act in situations when we don't know how to act in situations. And when we don't, when we feel like we can't hear God, then that's when we go to the people and say, I don't know how to do this. I do it all the time. I never grew up with a mom or a dad, so sometimes I just don't know how to be a mom of a teenager. You know, Andrew's been really helpful because his kids are older than mine. But we must go to the counsel of the Lord so that we can begin to really release the things of heaven so that we're not releasing from a state of the wrong brokenness and then in return breaking people. You see, God, hold your hands out like this, okay? Now look to the person to your right and to your left. Seriously, don't, now I'm going to challenge you. Because some of us, we don't like to look at people's eyes. So I want you to make eye contact with the person to your right and to your left, okay? Seriously look. And take a moment. Do you see? Look. Watch. You see? Something's happening, huh? Instant connection. Yeah, I thank you, Father, for encounters right now. What is your name? Lorna. I just thank you for Lorna. I thank you for the call of God upon her life. I just thank you, Father, that you're doing a new thing in her. I thank you, Father, that you've called her to be a mother to many. I thank you, Father, for the heart of hospitality inside of her. I thank you, Father, that you're doing a new thing, and this is a new day, and this is a new hour in her life. Father, I thank you that she's not who people say she is. I thank you that she's exactly who you say she is. Dynamic, mighty, faithful friend, good and faithful servant. I thank you for Lorna, Father. I thank you that this is a time to see the old go in the past and the new to be washed up, like even like as the sea goes out and it comes back in. I just thank you that this is her new season. As the sea is going out, it's bringing in new, going out and bringing in new, going out and bringing in new. I see the hand of the Lord washing away years and years and years and years of just stuff. Just stuff. Stuff that is causing you to think from the old way, and the Lord is bringing in new ways of thinking. I feel like that the Lord is really going to begin to awaken you even through the Word of God, that you're going to go into a new season. You're a word lover, but the Word is going to come alive even in greater ways. I feel like that the Lord was going to wake you up, like even in the watchman hours. Get ready. You might be awake at 3 a.m., but that these are going to be the greatest downloads, and the Lord is going to begin to prepare you. I feel like strangers are going to walk to your door because of the presence of the Lord. They're going to knock on the door and say, there's something in this house that I need to have. And you're going to invite them in and have tea or coffee. Actually, I see you making food. Food for this tummy. Forget the tea and coffee. It's like you're pulling out food. I see like fried chicken and mashed potatoes and homemade breads and homemade desserts and pies and puddings. And like there's like a feast at your house. Forget the teas and coffees. You're serving up a feast. And I felt like that what you do not only in the natural is also what you do in the spiritual, and that God sees these things. But I felt like that you were raising up mighty ministries, that people were coming to the secret place to be raised up for the work and for the work of the Lord, that you were raising up saints for the work now and for the work in the future. He trusts you. So back to this. So imagine, you know, I said to look at the person's eyes. That's what happened when I looked in her eyes. That was a little sidetrack thing. We made eye contact. You have to make eye contact with people because they carry the kingdom. You see? And so it's important, if you think about it, you're holding somebody's heart. God trusts you, you see? And he doesn't want you to break hearts. He wants you to heal hearts. He wants you to serve up a feast, so that hearts can be restored. He doesn't want us to add to it. And you know, the only reason why that happens is because we become insecure with who we are. We forget our identity. We forget that our true maker is inside of us. And all we have to do is step back and humble ourselves and recognize the insecurity that might come up. Because all, you know what insecurities do? They block, especially if you're a leader, they block all those you lead. Because you will never allow them to go higher than yourself. For me, I don't care. I feel like the world is so big for everyone to do what they're called to do. I'm so laid back. I don't care what people do. I train and equip people in the prophetic. And some of these guys, they prophesy better than me. I don't care. I don't care. Because I know that if I build from underneath, God will build my dreams too. That's who we're all called. We are all called to do that. We're all called to help each other from underneath. We're not called to put the heavy hand and oppress people like Pharaoh. We're called to build people from underneath. That's what true apostolic, prophetic, any kind of anybody, forget the fivefold ministry. It's your DNA. You're called to encourage people, to affirm people. Andrew, he's always telling me, you know, you do that really well, Christina. I'm like, I do. And every time he leaves my house, I'm like, why does he always give me compliments? Because most of the time, I get emails that blast me. Most of the times, people are telling me what I'm doing wrong. I very rarely ever hear, well done. I just know because I hear God. I don't need the pat on the back. But I'm just saying, it's a rare thing, you know, but God knows at this in this season that sometimes we just need to hear the well done. But you know what? We don't have to wait for somebody else to do it. You know, sometimes I look in the mirror and I pass the mirror and I catch my eyes and I'm like, whoa, what is that looking at me? You know, but it was the kingdom of God looking at me, and it freaks me out sometimes because we forget what we carry. And why does that happen to me? Because I think God just wants me to say, hey, guess what? Wake up. The kingdom is inside of you. And sometimes I look in my eyes and go, wow, that's kind of like scary. You know what's in there? It's scary because sometimes we don't realize what's in there. And the deeper you think about God, the deeper you will go. Did you know that? The more you think about the things of heaven, the more heaven opens up to you. Isn't that amazing? Like, I didn't even go to theology school, but God just shows me stuff. I go to theology school every single day. Every day I sit at the feet of Jesus and I say, teach me, Jesus. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. That's who you are. I'm going to just have to tell this story because I'm long-winded and I can preach for another hour. So Peter, okay, wait. Oops, I messed up. So imagine that there's this, you know, trainer or mentor, and he has the person that he's mentoring, right? And his mentor, like, totally screws up. Am I allowed to say that? She's not here. Messes up. So The mentor, what was that word you taught me the other day? Stitched up. Am I allowed to say that word? Okay. I was like, am I allowed to say that word? I'm going to get in trouble if I say it, huh? Stitched up. And what happens is he kind of like abandons. Well, we already know who I'm talking about. It's Peter, right? So he like denies Christ, right? Three times. And that's in Matthew 26. I don't know what the address is. 26 something. And so he goes on, you know, and we know the story. He denies Jesus, right? And three times. Yeah? And he's watching all of this as well. This is a man who, like, walked with Jesus, right? He walked with Jesus. He trained with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He saw the bread multiply. Like, this dude, he saw the stuff. He didn't just see the stuff. He was doing the stuff. And when push came to shove, he denies his mentor. He betrays him in the sense and says, dude, I don't know that guy. And somebody else, oh, no, I don't know that guy. Somebody else, oh, no, get away from me. I do not know that guy. You know, can you imagine by the third time what he was feeling inside? I don't know. I know when I do something that the Lord tells me to do and I don't do it, I get sick. I can only imagine how Peter must have felt at that moment when he was watching what was taking place before his very eyes. Then Jesus raises from the dead. Isn't that cool? He totally raised from the dead. He's alive in you. The Christ that rose from the dead, that power, that resurrection power is in you. Say it. That resurrection power is in me. So that means you can do the stuff. Only believe, right? That means you can pull, you can pull a coin out of a fish's mouth. Or the dirt, or wherever God tells you to pull it from. Sometimes it can just happen to end up in your pocket or in your bank account. I got a holiday one time. and too much money was put on my charge card. Supernaturally, my charge card was paid for, and I was in the negative of like $2,500. And I was like, what does that mean, negative? And what it meant was I had an extra amount of money in there for me to go on a holiday. Isn't that crazy? And you know how it was paid? By phone. And I waited and I waited for the mistake to be a mistake, and it was no mistake. God said, what are you looking for? I gave that to you. Supernatural. I never had a holiday before. It was the first time me and my husband ever went on a holiday. We went to Santorini. It was the most fun ever. But God gave it. Only believe. You're not an orphan. He likes to do those little things. I'm believing him for a Mini Cooper. Teal green convertible. I want a car. I don't have a car. I haven't had one in 4 years. I want a car. So I'm being specific about the car. I don't care if it's used as long as it runs and it doesn't break down and the brakes work and the new and there's new tires. That's it. But I want a teal green Mini Cooper that's a convertible. I don't know why I want it. I just do. It's the little things. Why am I telling you this? I have no idea. Because when I get it, you're going to go, ooh, I want that. God, look what God did, right? I can tell you story after story. I don't have time because there's something I want to do. Ah, it's too bad we have to leave at whatever time we have to leave. Okay, so I love this. I feel like it's my dance of life because all of you are so hungry. I could feel you. Like you're so easy to share the gospel with. You really are. You're beautiful. Like you have my heart. You're tattooed. I'm taking you home. You'll live here forever. You all are flipping in my little pocket here. I take you home. So here you see in Matthew, he denies him. Then then at the end of John, what happens? I love this. What happens? Jesus restores Peter. And he doesn't restore him just once. He restores him three times. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. And then he said again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend to my sheep. So feed my lambs, tend to my sheep. Then he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. If we jump over to Acts, who is it that stepped up? Peter. And he gave a great sermon, didn't he? So from brokenness, revival broke out. God restored more than. He didn't just restore. Like that was pretty, you know, not so cool of Peter to deny Jesus, was it? So how many of you have prayed for your enemies to be blessed like that? To be restored to more than. Not that Peter was his enemy, but I can imagine if it was me, it would feel like that. That my friend denied me, said that he didn't know me because he was afraid. Yeah, but Jesus overlooked that and he gave back to him. I'm sure Peter did enough of his own tearing down his heart. But then God restored and he restored more than. And the rest is history. The rest is history. All we have to do is align ourselves up. Peter knew that he loved Jesus. And God restored him at that moment, but it tattooed his heart. It empowered him for what was coming. It empowered him for what was coming. He had a yes in his heart. And by the third time, that yes was permanently tattooed on his heart. And when it came, a short time after, revival broke out in Pentecost. Right? God added to their numbers. And I just felt like that today, God wanted to really show you how special you are, how beautiful you are, and that it doesn't matter, like, you know, we've been going through stuff, and I'll try not to be too much of an open book. Sometimes I feel like I share too much and I need to be careful. But we've been going through some stuff, and it just doesn't seem to end, the hardship and the stuff. It's so intense. And I said to Andrew, I said, have you ever experienced anything like this? He goes, just a little, but not the intensity that you walk through. And when I say that we're going through stuff, I really mean we're going through stuff. Like, it's really amazing that I'm standing before you, okay? We have to let go. Like, my son was shaken by somebody in the church. I never share that part of my testimony. And it doesn't matter. Like, people are broken. And we have to turn, because the only way, the only people it affects is us. I watched this movie one time. Of course, Jesus says 70 times 7, but I thought it was so powerful. And it was this movie that time period type movies. And it was this couple who ended up being married at this lighthouse, and this boat washed up, and in the boat, she couldn't get pregnant. She lost every baby she ever tried to have, but this boat washed up, and the father had died in the boat, but the baby was alive, and so they didn't report the baby. And the long story short, they stole this baby, basically. And then the baby years passed, and then the mother was reunited with the baby. I'm just giving you the short version. But basically, you know what she said? She was reflecting back, because her husband had died, and he was a German and she was British. And back then, you know, Germans, and they weren't like for it in this movie anyway. I don't know if it was actually a true historical fact. But anyway, he said to her, "You only have to forgive once, but you'll spend a lifetime feeding bitterness." What kind of brokenness do you want to flow from? You are trusted with hearts. You know, when my son was shaken by the babysitter, I had to forgive 70 times 7. And one day, when Micah was going through one of his surgeries, it was always a surgery that caused my heart to kind of like get agitated. And one day I realized my heart didn't hurt anymore, that I was actually truly set free. And that's what we have to do to keep our hearts right. That's the state of brokenness. A broken and contrite spirit God can work with, but a broken heart that tries to control things, God can't work with. A broken heart that tries to control things only creates chaos and mess and more broken hearts. But a broken and contrite spirit will bring healing to many nations. And that's the kind of heart that God wants to work with, a heart that's pliable, a heart that's willing. And all he needs is a yes. So I really believe that you're like, I know that, you know, the Lord did a lot of things here today already. And I believe that he just kind of wants to wash the old as you step into the new. You don't have to do this if you don't want to, but as I was praying for you yesterday, I felt like it would be such an honor to wash your feet. And I asked the team, and I asked Nicola if she could please get me some buckets. We're going to have four basins up here, if we could have a chair at each basin. But we're going to wash your feet. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. It's not compulsory. But for those of you that want, this is what I believe. I believe that God is that you are walking into the new. It's time to shake off the dust. And as myself as a leader, and Andrew as a leader, and really all these guys as leaders, you know, we're sorry for the things that you went through. We're sorry that maybe leaders in church or leaders in the workplace haven't recognized you or honored you for who you truly are. My prayer for you is that you don't do that in return to somebody else. That you walk with such love that it dispels darkness. That's what you're designed to do. You are designed to dispel darkness. You're designed to love so much that it hurts. You actually have the capacity to love so much that it hurts. If I told you my story, my whole story, even my journey as a missionary here, coming to the UK starting from 2008 to moving to the UK from 2013, you would be surprised that I'm even a Christian. You see, my eyes are steadfast on the Lord. I know who I am. I know what I'm called to do. It doesn't mean there have been times I wanted God to take my breath away, but he came in and he gave me a job to do. He reminded me who I am and what I'm called to do. Amen? So, okay. Yep. Would it be okay if we just that way are? Okay, so maybe we can get some music, and those that want will just simply wash your feet, and that's what we're going to do until, you know, and all I can say is I believe that God's going to meet you. I believe he's going to give you what you need, and he's the one that does the stuff. He's the one that invades your heart, that invades your soul, that invades your mind and your body. What is the lady from Poland, or is it Poland? Anna? Anna, just before I forget, do you have a way to record? Would you like to record it? Anna, right? A-N-N. When you were coming earlier, the first thing that I saw in you was dance, and I really felt that that there was an anointing upon you in the art of dance, and I felt like that you were called to like dance upon injustices. I actually see that the hand of the Lord is going to give you strategies, and I saw you dancing in certain places around London, and that the Lord is going to use you to like open up wells, like ancient wells, but that I saw you redeeming back the land. But I saw you redeeming back the land through dance. Whether you actually go out and do it, because there's a real, you have a heart of intercession, but you have a heart to see breakthrough, and you have a heart to see God's kingdom come. And I believe that there's more to you than meets the eye. It's almost like you've been hidden in the shadow of God's wing. And I felt like that the Lord is opening up his wing, and it's time for you to fly. But part of that flying is dance. And I also see like every kind of dance, urban dance, ballet, contemporary, modern, that there's no like one style inside of you. And I felt like that also that you were going to like create productions, and that these were things, and it's done like with excellence, not like what we expect the church to do, like you, that there's a side of excellence to draw in the world, and I felt like that the Lord, that you have an evangelistic heart, but that the Lord was going to use like dance to speak out. I also felt like there was a prophetic edge to you, and again, I felt like he was going to use the arts to reach hearts, that God was going to do that through you, I would encourage you that like there's nothing you can't do creative wise, that you're a very creative person, and that this is your season, and this is your hour to begin to even just explore and see what the Father is doing. There's more to you than even meets your own eye, and I just see the hand of the Lord just like exploding you in all things creative. And I also felt like it was going to be like really healing, not just for you but those that come around you. I felt like whatever the Lord does with you inwardly, that's going to just flow out of you outwardly, and it's going to become so contagious that other people are going to begin to have like their own intimate experiences with the Father, like you will have with the Father through whatever he reveals to you through the arts. And I just felt like favor was going to just go before you and go behind you and go all around you, that finance, everything that you will ever need, because you really have a heart of excellence. You want to, if whatever you do, you want to do it well, and you want to present it well, and you don't want to present it like in a cheesy way. You don't like cheesy arts. And that the Lord said, don't worry about it. Just dream it, do it, and he'll provide it. You're not an orphan. Okay, so I guess we need to be out of here pretty quickly. So maybe we can just start washing feet and let Papa do what Papa wants to do. And God bless you. Thank you so much. I'll say goodbye now because I'll be on the floor. Thank you so much for accepting all of us. You're such a lovely group of people, and you're so hungry. It's a real, real honor to be with you today. Thank you. Thank you for making it easy.